For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Victory broadcast. What do you think when you hear the word trust? It's an idea that can speak of security and confidence. When violated, trust can be an idea that brings to mind great pain and disappointment. The Bible introduces us to one who will never violate our trust. You can be certain Jesus is who he claims to be. Continue with us in John chapter 10 as Pastor Holling concludes the sermon, You Can Trust Jesus.
Would you just believe that I am the Son of God? But not only by my works, but he told him, he said, I've told you and you believe not. So by the words that he declared, look at verse number 30. He said, I and my Father are one. You know, this really riled up the crowd. They had surrounded him, and now he was making one of the clearest and boldest claims that anybody could make. I and my Father are one. Man, they didn't want him. They didn't want to believe that he was God, anything like God, or anything about God. Jesus claimed to be equal with God, but Jesus wasn't claiming to be equal with God. Jesus was equal with God. We find that it's a basic truth. For the Jews in the first century, that was bold blasphemy. I'm telling you, you never would say that you and your Father, wouldn't that be like me saying, I'm just like Jesus, or I am Jesus. I'm not Jesus, and you can count on it. If I say it, I'm telling a lie. But if Jesus says, I and my Father are one, you can bank on that he is, and that they are the same. In verse number 31, look what he does. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Now, I'm going to tell you, only the Lord would know how to handle a situation like that. Here they were, literally mad as fire because of what he said, ready to stone him. But notice how Jesus answered them. His words are powerful as his works are. Look at verse 32. The Bible said, Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? He said, I've told you many things of my Father. He said, of which one of these do you slay me? And the Jews said, it is not for your good works that you are doing to kill you. And by the way, everything he was done was good. Isn't it good that he healed the blind man? Isn't it good that he raised the dead man? Isn't it good that he fed the multitude? You're going to stone me because I did something good? So which one of them are you going to stone me for? It's not for the good works that we're going to kill you, but because you being a man make yourself out to be God. Look at verse 34. Jesus answered, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods. Now, what is this? What's he talking about? Well, in reference to Psalm 82, verse 6, he said there, God referred to the judges who were charged with the care of Israel as gods. Little g. Not talking about God as God the Father, but there, God, in Psalm 82, 6, said, referred to the judges who were charged with the care of Israel as gods, little g. Here's these people, and so he throws it back at them. Is it not written in the law that ye are gods? Jesus' argument was one from the lesser to the greater. If the Scripture referred to mere men as gods, then why are they so angry at him, the one God that has specifically and especially sent into the world? What's wrong with him calling himself the Son of God? He had a valid point. They were about to kill him for supposedly breaking the law. However, when in reality he was the only one of them who had never broken any of the laws. But as compelling as his works and his words are, Jesus doesn't argue with them, and he doesn't argue his case like a lawyer before a jury. Literally, what Jesus did was present himself as light in a dark world. He gave them the idea of lightness in darkness. Ultimately, he said, if men love darkness rather than light, they would simply close their eyes and say, I don't see it. So if they love darkness more than light, they would refuse to recognize and see it. Nevertheless, if you're wondering, Jesus answered his skeptics. You can trust Jesus no matter what your doubt may be. But what happens when the skeptics and the critics with their threats and stones surround you? In the Lord's case, I would say, if you worry, Jesus assures his sheep. We find once again our Lord in the crosshairs of his enemy. They hate him. They want him dead. But he is not a bit afraid of his foes, and neither should he be, and neither should his sheep be afraid of our foes or our enemies. For those sheep that hear him have the calm assurance of the voice of the shepherd. I want you to know today, when we face our foes, if you hear the word of God, you'll follow him. That's why today it's so important. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you'll hear his word, the first thing we notice is of his guidance of them. Look at verse number 26. He said, "But you believe not, because ye are not my sheep, as I've said unto you." Boy, I tell you today, that's one way to answer the critics, isn't it? The reason you don't understand is because you're not one of us. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Isn't that encouraging today? The world says to us, "How can you believe all that? Why do you follow a Jewish carpenter that spoke all this over 2,000 years ago?" I tell you why, because one day I heard his voice, and I tell you, he changed my life, and today it's by my determination that I want to follow him all the days of my life, because I know he'll never lead me astray. Jesus assures his sheep not only of his guidance of them, but also notice of his gift to them. Look in verse 28, still speaking now. Remember, the reason this conversation come up was because of the skeptics. They did not believe his authority or believe who he was. Jesus said unto his sheep, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." And I tell you today, when we got saved and put our faith and trust in Christ, we have eternal life and we will never perish, no matter what comes our way, the gift of God. Someone has said eternal life is not just about quantity, but quality. It starts out as a life that starts now, and it continues on into eternity. Even though one day I'll die here, I will never die spiritually. The shepherd assures the sheep that once they're in the fold, they're safe forever. I tell you, once the shepherd gets them in the fold and it's protected on all sides, there's nothing can change that. At the marriage altar, a bride and groom will each give each other the gift of a ring. That ring, they will say, "I pledge my life, my love to you," and they will quote these words, "Till death do we part." Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. To death do we part. When? When you die spiritually, or die physically. Jesus gives his eternal bride. By the way, he's the bridegroom and we're the bride. And he says, not even death will part us. And then thirdly, not only do we see the fact of his guidance, and not only do we see the fact of his gift, but notice thirdly, the grip on them. I like this. In verse number 29, "My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." In verse 39, a little bit of play on words, "He escaped out of their hand." That's good. "Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand." I tell you what, we can't escape out of his hand. But he can escape out of their hand to do what God would have him to do. With that, it seems like this particular section is over. Seems like John's closing the scene with a passage that again speaks of the trustworthiness of Jesus. To understand that you can trust Jesus, that he can meet your need, he'll give you everything you need in your life. But then we move on. If you're wondering, Jesus answered his skeptics. If you're worried, Jesus assures his sheep. But if you're witnessing, Jesus authenticates his servants. Look at verse 39. Verse number 39, "Therefore they sought him again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand." This is the scene that ends in Jerusalem. But the chapter doesn't end right here. We know that the chapter divisions were added later. But we find at the close of this 10th chapter that it points back to what precedes it in its text. And by the way, you ought to always take the Bible in the context in which it's written and given. Look at verse 40. "And he went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John had first baptized." See what I'm talking about? We come full circle. John came in the name of the Lord in the beginning of John saying, Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And now we see him concluding his earthly ministry. And the Bible says he went away again beyond Jordan in the place where John first baptized, and there he abode. So we move from the big city of Jerusalem back to the remote areas around Jordan where John the Baptist first started paving the way. I want you to know today, the location has not changed. The location has changed, but the message has not. You can trust Jesus. Friend, today, as old-fashioned as we might be, one of his witnesses in this world, if we're one of his sheep, we can testify of him, and we know today we can trust Jesus. I want you to know today, you can still trust him. What you don't have to do, when Jesus went back to the other side of Jordan, here's what you don't have to do. Look at verse 41. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle. But all things that John spake of this man were true. Many key people came to see him just as they had come. But when they showed up, they remembered the ministry of John. They didn't see the miracles. They just remembered the word. And they remembered what he had said. Because what did he say? And I've already said it several times today. He said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You know what? I can say today with John, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. It has not changed. It's the same. John did no miracle. In fact, John was not a miracle worker. John healed no one. John had no supernatural signs on his resume. But as the people testified in verse 41, the Bible said, All that John spake, speaking of Jesus, was true. They trusted what he had to say. If you're a sheep of the good shepherd trying to tell others about how good he is, be encouraged. You don't have to be a miracle worker. You don't have to do signs and wonders. You don't have to move heaven and earth. You don't have to open blinded eyes. All you have to do is tell them the truth. That Jesus came and died for your sins. And he rose again the third day. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. All we have to do is tell the truth. What's the truth? Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We don't have to be miracle workers. We don't even have to do the works at all. We just have to believe him. And then what you don't want to do, but also what you don't have to doubt. Again in his testimony, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of Jesus were true. The next verse, look at it, verse 42. Here's the key. And many believed on him there. Ultimately, the victory was won. The skeptics questioned. His sheep was assured. But the most important thing is people believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for who he was and what he was able to do.
There were many in the life of Jesus who doubted that he was the Son of God. But there were many who believed him, and those that believed him were not disappointed. Have you placed your trust in Jesus Christ? Will you choose victory today?
This is Gary Holland, and today's message came to you from the pulpit of Victory Baptist Church, where I serve as pastor. If God has touched your life through the Voice of Victory broadcast, please let us know by contacting us at victorybaptistchurch.us, where all regular services are webcast live. Written correspondence can be addressed to Victory Baptist Church at 938 North Pine Tree Boulevard, Thomasville, Georgia, 31792. We would like to invite you to our services this morning at Victory Baptist Church, or you can join us on the internet. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week at this same time.